Ralph Molenkamp and Haynes Thompson discussing the effects of the 1937 flood on Aurora, Indiana. Haynes Thompson owned a floral shop, and Ralph Molenkamp worked at Johnston Gamble's. Eddie Probst ran a milk route from his farm at that time.
Tell me about Black Sunday.
Well, Black Sunday, the water was up just the ceiling on the first floor on 2nd Street. What's the number, Ralph?
That'd be 331, 333.
333,
yeah.
This was in January
1937. That's right, right. And there's a bunch of us up there playing cards. We'd go out and measure the steps, the hallway that had steps coming up. We'd go out and measure the steps. And I went out two or three times and then fall out. Went out another time and I said, well, it's not raising anymore. I went out 10 minutes after I went in the last time, and in the 10 minutes time it raised 6.5 inches. Not still not raising, it went up an extra step. And then we had all this merchandise that we have in the clothing store, a lot of it, on that second floor. So we went in this guy's bathroom, got a hole in the ceiling, put it all up in the attic. So we might as well throw it away.
That's the dirty end of it.
Mm-hmm. And it was terrible. I'll tell you, it was really bad.
I'll tell you a little story about that. See, our store was right next to where Haynes was. Mm-hmm. And the fellow I worked for, he figured out how high the 84 flood was. Now, the 84 flood was the measuring flood of all. Mm-hmm. Nothing could ever get higher than 84 flood. So he had it all figured out. So all the other stuff we had to take out. We took it all out of the store, and we took it up the street above, supposedly, the 84 flood, which worked out pretty good, see, until the next day. The very next day, all them light bulbs inside the store was floating around in there, everything. I mean, they're getting on the shelves. A little Robert, he went and bought a little John boat from old Saul Biden for $25, and it leaked like a sieve. You know what I mean? Well, and we had our skiff yet. You know what I mean? So we brought the skiff up down, and so I went through the transom of the window, that little John boat, and went through the transom and started picking up whatever was floating around in there, and whatever we salvaged, and getting it off the shelf, putting it in this John boat, and taking it out the window, and handed it to old Jesse Laker and Woody Wood. Woody.
Okay.
Well, now that wasn't the worst of it. The worst of it was, I wouldn't say worst of it, but Ed Everett was upstairs, and every time those guys, and snowing, always a terrible day, man. Snowed and rained and blowed all at the same time. All this trouble and all this weather. Just terrible. Just snowing and blowing and everything. Well, and poor old Ed, and every time these guys take we get the skiff loaded down, see, they take it over there in front of where the Royal Lumber Company used to be, and that's where the school is now, see. But they take it over there, and then Bob Johnson would put it in his car and take it up on Fifth Street. And Mr. Johnson would clean it up, wipe it off, you know, and put it away. Well, in the process of doing all this, these guys handed those two guys out there was operating our boat, you know what I mean, a bottle too many times. Well, they didn't let me in on that. I didn't get in on that. You know what I mean? I was still a kid. Well, so they, then finally this one gentleman, he got next to his boss, and Bob said to me, he said, you know, what's wrong with him? I said, my God, he said, there's something wrong with him. Well, he done did it the bottle too many times, you know what I mean? He said, there's something wrong with him. I said, Mr. Johnson, I said, ain't nothing wrong. He's just been working too hard. He had been working awful. Then a teeny's grocery broke. I mean, water was going to put them out of electricity, and then they want to hook up a light plant up there. Well, Jesse went ahead. They had some old light plants. He finally got one of them running. He went in the old room, got it running. And he went up and cranked the thing up. I don't know how in the world that, but anyway, he hurt his hand. I mean, he really cut his hand. Boy, he did that. Boy, he really fixed himself. So, but they finally got that thing going. They had lights up, teeny's. But then teeny's grocery got flooded, too.
Teeny moved off them. Yeah. Down where they was, down there with Gray's Inn, moved up there to get out of the high water, and he said he had 18 inches on the floor.
That's right.
Where it ended up.
Tell you another thing, we moved all, we had, at that time, we had appliances and, you know, refrigerators and stoves and washing machines, and we moved them up the street. And the next morning, by God, the water was in there. And hadn't been for those legs. Now, you may have legs on in those days, most of them had. And hadn't been for the state highway trucks. The state highway trucks bought them big dump trucks down there, which were high-bedded trucks. You know what I mean? They'd have lost all, everything. They just lost a whole bunch. But here they put them on there. And see them big high trucks, they can back down through that water. They can take more water, see? And being as high as they were, they didn't too much trouble. And hadn't been for them. But then, Eddie, you know what happened then? Then all the merchandise went there. It didn't work with them.
Well, we had some up Snyder's and Cochran. We had some in the Lutheran school. We had some up at Everett's attic. I don't know if they ever got it all back or not. You know?
Well, finally, you know, we had some stuff with it that finally showed up about 2 years later. There was a guy out there in Cochran that had a bunch of Youngstown tablets out there. Was still out there. He said, when are you going to come together?
Was your business good after the flood?
Oh, now that's another situation.
Oh, man, dear.
We had the clothing store, and we had some stuff out in Cochran, out in Snyder's. So, what's the name of the guy's place now? Well, Sutton's Hatchery.
Oh, Sparkle.
Sparkle Hatchery was in there then.
Sparkle Cleaner.
And we would bring clothes in there, and they didn't buy a lot of clothes, because everybody lost everything they had. They'd buy one shirt and one pair of pants, and then go to bed, and wipe and wash it, and put it on the next day. That's the way it went. That's how they bought clothes, until they got straightened around. But we had clothes for them, anyhow.
There was one thing about a flood, you know. When there's a flood in town, everybody talks to everybody else. Now, you go downtown now, and there's a lot of people that won't talk to you.
Well, you get a lot of help. Now, of course, there was some help.
When there's a flood, everybody talks, everybody.
There was some pilferage, you know what I mean? Yeah. There was some of that.
Well,
I know poor old Jordan, Alcott. I think he took about as bad as anybody, because they didn't really lift him in.
Drugstore,
cameras and all kinds of stuff, you know.
Now, that's true. This idea of helping everybody out, it's easy to get your stuff out. Mm-hmm. But when you got to get it back, everybody needs help to get it back, and you can't get any help. Then's when you have your problem. You just got to look and look and look. We had Gertie Potts crew down here, and Tommy Thompson sent one of his big trucks down, and 3 or 4 men hadn't been there, we knew we'd gotten back to Sex Street.
Well, there was a lot of farmers who came in from out on the hilltops here and helped get moved the town out.
Yeah.
But when it comes to moving them back,
you can't get the help.
They didn't come back. See what I mean?
Well, we wasn't in a big rush, because we built all new shelving and everything after.
I was going to say, was your building damaged? Terrible. Dirty?
Every building on 2nd Street, you could raise it. You'd tear the floor up and mud that deep between the subfloor and the regular floor. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's terrible.
Floors all buckled up, and then you'd have to cut them out and put them back down again. And I tell you another thing we did too, which was a mistake too. Of course, you live and learn. But we had, at that time, that area over there where that their unloading place is over there, you know. Was a lot of people that go there. Lots and lots of people that go there.
It was all streets and houses.
Right, all streets and houses.
Yeah, Roy
Terminoli. Right, yeah. They were all streets and houses. Well, anyway, then they call over. You know, Robert Johnson, he was one of the best guys that anybody ever knew. They call old Bob up and say, hey, Bob, my refrigerator is getting in the water. Okay, we'll come over and get it for you. So bang, he'd send us guys all over there to get their refrigerator in their stove. Now what happened? We take it over and put it in our warehouse.
And they had to move all that.
Oh, then we ended up with it all. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And at that point, that was our obligation now. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And there was...
To
take care of their stuff, you know what I mean? Because, and boy, we did. We just unloaded, I don't know how many of those things. We had the whole place full down there.
How many people worked for Johnson and
Dean? Oh, I'd have to count them.
A bunch of
them? No, not a bunch of them. Well, there's Woody and the old Gus Beckmann. And Woody and Jesse Licker and myself and Lawrence Beckmann.
And his wife, and about
well,
it.
Well, Lee. Yeah, Lee. That's about it.
Yeah. That's, now Utah over there, or where this terminal is, that was originally the best part of, best part of the war. I mean, there was some beautiful homes
there.
Yes,
there was. There's a beautiful homes in there.
I've seen pictures.
Yeah, beautiful homes in there, pretty. Yes, sir, there sure was.
Were you out here then, Eddie, or were you?
37th place?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, we were 37th.
I think it was, you kept delivering milk, didn't you?
I never missed the
time. Yeah.
We take out right down here through the hill in a boat, and we rode it.
I was on a diet, and with ulcers.
No, my.
And one day we had, we went through ice that thick. One of us would stand out in front of the boat and break the ice with a board to get over into town.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Did people have money to pay you?
We didn't worry about that.
You just handed out the milk, huh?
We did Red Cross, take 10-gallon cans of milk over to the Red Cross.
They finally got so they even rationed food. In other words, they brought food to you, didn't they?
They brought food in.
Yeah.
I went to Galesburg.
I used to get soup from there at a soup kitchen on Conwell Street. One or two houses, no, three or four houses up there. They opened up a soup kitchen there, and they stopped there and get breakfast.
I went to Galesburg and got a bunch of food a couple of times.
Did everybody more or less stay in the area, though? They just kept moving to higher ground. They stayed around.
Yeah.
No, if they had to go somewhere where they could go, they went too far away, they'd go and stay with them.
Do you have anybody in here? Do you have
People down the road here. Ask Johnny Nugent when you see him. Well, he spent 37 months.
He's still
here.
Haynes
had quite a bunch down there.
I don't know how many we had.
Oh, you had Garney Liskey and Selma Liskey and
Homie.
I tell you, we had some good times too. I tell you, no kidding. You couldn't do anything at night times. They didn't have no electric, no nothing. Had lamps. And we used to go up there to Haynes was there and play cards, you remember?
I never know. House didn't flood, Haynes.
Oh, you hired. He's out of winter. Yeah,
he's up there. And there, water got in it. Ain't going basement though.
Well, yeah.
Water got right close to the floor.
Yeah.
I was up higher.
Did you ever on John Street?
Yeah. Between John and
Lord John. What's
Lord
John?
John.
Yeah. Now there's one thing that I'll tell you. In 1918, when my daddy went to buy a farm, he started selling milk when he was living down on Lockridge. We come in with us. 15-gallon milk can in the front end of a buggy, come up from Texas, had two dippers in it, one pint dipper and one quart dipper. And the lid, you turn it, take the lid off and turn it over, and it had a great big bowl there. And then you get the pint milk into this lid and carry it over to the lady, which she put in a fruit jar or whatever, and there she won a quart like that. Well, Dad made no money on it.
My wife took it on me.
Made enough money that he was looking for a place to buy. Well, he run this milk out, and he was still selling milk out of this buggy and can. The horse hair come back. Now, I still got the can up in the barn. And, so this farm over here was for sale, and so was this one. So an old Doc Martin, old T.J., was a real estate manager. T.J. took him over to this farm across the road. My dad bought the farm. And agreed that he'd take it. And it was coming out along the driveway there, and there was corn stalks laying there from the flood. On the pasture ground, you know. And Dad said to T.J., he said, how them corn stalks, what are you doing here? We said, that's when the water was, when flood was up last spring. Dad said, I don't want this place. He said, let's go over and look at that other one. So he told me about this.
A little higher up the hill.
That's what we want this one. He didn't agree to take that.
Flood's probably never got over there again, has it?
Huh?
Has it ever flooded over there since?
Oh, yeah, 37, yeah.
Since then,
no? No, not since then. No, that's just 37,
But 37 flood, now you'd think that house had been underwater, or in water, and it was about that far, and being up on the main floor of the house. And it was in the basement.
About the riverboat people, did any of you know anybody that lived on the riverboat?
You mean on
a
shiny boat?
Yeah.
Well, I never did know this one guy particularly, but this... yes. Now, Willis Crest, when I was a kid, he had a farm. Willis Crest, he had a little... Now, he had just a little bitty. It wasn't very big at all, but he lived on that thing. That was his home. And he covered the water all the time, too. Of course, the winter time, he'd be...
Jack,
did he? Yeah, he lived on it.
Yeah, Jack lived on it.
Jack's still living? I don't know.
I really don't know.
The last time I remember Jack was when they built this bridge here across on 50. They had just built that bridge and he was underneath there on the bank. They had just a flat boat then with a shack built up on it. But he lived on the bank and then, I don't know whether it's during the winter time or spring or when, but anyhow, he went out and down the river. That's the last I ever heard of Jack.
Yeah, he had a shack built too. There was several of them, but I just don't know who lived on
them. Yeah, a lot of those
things. Oh, Monk Shamblin. Who's Monk Shamblin, right?
Monk Shamblin.
Monk Shamblin.
His name was Shamblin. That's his name.
That's
his
name.
He had a shanty boat.
Yeah, he
used to live down there in the in Locker Creek. Monk did.
He lived at Monk Shamblin. Down there by,
where Marky got his place. Down there, Shannon was down there, used to
have his boat up in Locker Creek, too.
Yeah, well, I don't know where he had his boat. Now, didn't he live on ground then after he got out of the boat?
Oh, yes, he finally gave up the boat, yeah.
Gave up the boat and lived down there at the entrance to...
He's buried down in Riverview Cemetery.
Huh?
He's buried down in Riverview Cemetery. Uh-huh.
Why did they live on boats? Economy?
No taxes, no nothing.
Well, some of them, I think, it's just a way of life for them, man. I really do.
Did they make a living on the river, or what did they do?
I don't know what they did.
Well, I don't think they did much of anything. This one guy, Buster Christie, didn't do nothing. Might sold some fish, maybe, a little fish. That would be about it. But I don't think he worked. Now, Chris Faber's daddy lived on a shanty boat. I mean, but now, he had his out on the bank, too. And those two lawyers I was talking to you about a while ago, they had a, and they take that shanty boat, what did you say the name was a while ago?
McMullen,
okay. They take that shanty boat down to Lockwood Island, let her down there also.
Well, that was their
recreation.
Yeah,
they really didn't make a home there.
No,
they had several of them made homes on it.
They had a good one.
They
had a good one. That was a good boat they had.
What was the old one?
Tell them about Gus Castor.
Oh, my Lord, yes.
What was the old Indian that used to live up here when we was going to school? What about the waterworks there? Scared the heck out of all these all the time.
I don't remember him.
I remember.
He ended up in Rising Sun.
I don't know. But it's been a great part of my life up there. I think we've seen more things than most people ever see. And I'm not leaving town. I never left town. I always lived here.
We might be going around the world up there in the sky, but we've had our fun here.
We've seen a lot of things change. I'll tell you that.
From the cars first.
Must have got the one car now. Way back.
Can you get out?
I stood up
in the sea. He's got a robot cartwheel. You're talking about shanty boats, too. There's a lot of those shanty boats that finally ended up on bank. You know what I mean? Over there in Utah.
Thanks a lot, Haynes.
Over there in Utah. And I think the Brookses had some of that. You remember the Brookses?
Yeah.
And I remember Mrs. Hill had a shanty boat. What, did she have a shanty boat or a shack?
No, she had a shanty. She had a shanty down there right here where they're going to build it.
I mean, shanty she had right in there. What's she
little trailer she had in there.
Yeah.
What did
she have? A lady who lived alone on
the road? She had raised her family. She had raised her family.
Yeah. She lived there alone.
She was a little soul.
Well, see, that's her grandson. Well, it was her son that died at Wood Burnett.
Right.
And that's her grandson that's a preacher out here from that is church and woman.
But like you lived right on the river.
Right, sure did.
You would remember if there was kids that lived out in those boats or things, wouldn't you? That you don't remember that?
Oh, sure. But there weren't too many of them, man, in my time. Yeah. And the only thing I will admit, too, that sometimes they went by. In other words, they'd be...
They were kind of transient.
Yeah, they just go by. You mean, in other words, you'd look up and here come a guy, and he'd have a rowboat and pull that thing. I mean, they mm-hmm. no kidding. You mean, they weren't going no place, because that's all they had to do was tie up at night. Mm-hmm. You mean, so I can remember... Willis Christie, I talked to you about it, but now he was really a shanty boater. And I do know that the Brookses were. And they had, but then they finally beached them up on the bank, and some of them they raised up in the air and made homes out of them.
Hmm.
Oh, and then there was another shanty boat that come down the river. Oh boy, what's his name? About 1930s, from Pittsburgh. Harry Shardine. Okay, now there was two shanty boats in Northburg, and they both come down here, and they went to work the cities. But then, don't you remember that shanty boat used to be out there along Bilby Road? They took it out there and then they put a bottom under it, fixed it all up and lived in it. That thing was hauled out there off the river.
I think
so. Yeah, it was hauled out there. Yeah. So there's, I can't think of this one guy, but this other guy, but they come down the river. Now, they was good friends of Woody's, we sell them bottle gas, put that on them shanty boats. Right.
What does shanty boat look like? How were they built?
Well, they're like a barge.
Yeah, and with a little house on it.
Smaller, and they built a house on it. And inside, you walk down in from.
Mm-hmm.
You
mm-hmm.
step down, maybe that.
Yeah, down in the hall.
Down in the hall.
Hmm.
And you'll have a narrow door here to bounce your head on if you don't. Be careful.
Yeah. I don't think I'd ever relish that too much. I don't think.
Do you remember when? I think I've asked you this before. Do you remember when Heisey built that trailer he took to Florida?
Uh-uh.
I sat down the front yard.
No kidding.
Put on a 4-cylinder Maxwell. Lengthened the frame out of it. I think pretty gone, champ. The one building. In fact, I know him. He slept, could sleep four people in it, had a table up against the wall that folded out, had a wash bowl in the corner, and he washed her hands, pulled some kitchen set on the other side, hang your coffee cups up on the, oh, he had a pressure water in it, pressure water, you got the tank underneath, what's it called? Had a hole there in the floor, you pumped air into it, fresh water.
I've seen a lot of changes on the road, I tell you. Now, they talk about this man, Kastner, Gus Kastner. Well, Gus was an old river man, too. And he's also a fix-it man around the roar. He'd fix anything. But he wouldn't hardly charge you anything. And there was nothing to take a job to him, he'd prepare for you for a quarter. And that's why he made his living. And he's busy all the time, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Busy all the time. And he had little boats and motors in it.
Did he build a motor, design a motor or something?
Oh well, he's handy. Gus is awful handy. In fact of the matter, I had an occasion. We had a skiff for many years, after I got married and kind of neglected the thing. And it finally went to pieces. Well, then it was come time in my life again when I'd like to have another boat. And I found a set of skiff sides. Now, skiff sides, ma'am, are made out of cypress. They were cypress lumber. And they were 18 feet long and 24 inches wide. So, and I found out that this Kastner had a set of these skiff sides up in his barn up on Fifth Street, upstairs. Well, his brother came in the store down there one day, and I said, hey, I understand you've got some skiff sides up in your barn.
Yeah.
But he said, you know, they don't belong to me. He said, they belong to my brother. And he said, he's kind of funny about them things. Well, I said, I wonder how you buy them. He said, Ralph, he said, I tell you, I don't know, but I'll find out. Well, glory be. He goes back up there again. And of course, Johnny Green, do you know Johnny Green, my uncle? Well, John Green was my uncle, and him and them Kastners was all good friends. And he said he wouldn't let anybody have them except somebody that was related to Johnny Green. But Lord knows, I was his nephew, you see. And of course, he said he'd come back down to the store and he said he'll sell them. But he said, you'll have to have $20 for them. Well, glory be. I haven't had $20 in my pocket, so I just give him the money so I didn't want him to change his mind. See? So I sent old Jesse Laker up. I said, Jesse, you go around Fifth Street and get them skiff sides for me, will you? He went right up and got them. He went right up and got them things. So now it was about an order of two skiff sides. So I thought, well, and I knew what I was going to do. So then I went to Jim Fairfield. And Jim Fairfield was handy. He could do anything. This guy could. He was something else. I said, Jim, how about building me a skiff? I said, I'll do it for you. I said, now, Jim, I want her to look just exactly like my woman. He said, I'll do it. He said, I'll do it. And you know what? Boy, he built her perfection. I mean, this is great. This is great. And just exactly the way she was. See, the original boat I had come from Whitlock. I got it. But the original boat come from Whitlock. That's where my original boat come from, see.
That's where that boat come from.
Yeah,
that was Whitlock.
Huh? Huh?
I can't
think
you a new Whitlock.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's where my original boat
that
come
was
from.
That was a Whitlock boat.
Yeah.
I got that from one of the floods. And to get it, we had to drive through water there at the old brewery, Carl Flatter, and down to Whitlock and got it. We drove through water there to get it out of Rising Sun. I bought it and got it home and then used it. It ran up on a barn brewery.
I heard he had a factory at one time, made boats.
Oh, he made dandies, too.
They were kind of small versions of his race boats or something?
No, no. These are plain old skiffs.
All these
are regular skiffs. Regular skiffs. And where mine come from originally was on the ferry boat. I mean, over the wharf boat. That's Gus Castor's. I mean, that's all this Gerlach's boat.
Oh, Gus.
Yeah, and then when they sunk the wharf boat, then they disbanded that thing, you know what I mean, and then they had two skiffs on there, and my uncle bought that for us. You mean that skiff? And we had it for many, many years. It was a long time. But then Jim built me one that looked just like it, and he hit it right on the money.
I just wondered if that's one of them. Granted, one night to go across the river to see a girl.
15.
How long did you keep your second one? Did you still got
it? Oh, no, ma'am, I tell you, I eventually. First, then things go different, you know what I mean? I was married then, and of course I'd say one day, don't think for sure, my wife, she went right along with me. You know what I mean? If I wanted to skip, okay, we got to skip, see? Well, then the first thing you know, well, then we got this little 6-horsepower engine put on that thing, little 6-horsepower Wizard engine. And, well, then the first thing you know, I got a 12-foot boat, regular factory built boat, with a 12-horsepower engine on it. Well, then, but that wasn't big enough, you know. That 40 years was over with, got a new engine on that thing, but it's an 18-foot. But then the next year, sold the whole outfit, sold the whole thing, and got me a new 16-foot boat with a 40 on it, with a full rope on it. We had a full start. Well, so then we decided that was too darn much, so the next year we sold, got rid of that engine and got us one electric start. So then after that, and after the electric start, I got a new boat, a 17-foot boat with an 80 on it.
What do you got now?
Huh? I got a houseboat now. Here.
Houseboat?
Right.
That is what you got.
Yeah. Yeah, we bought a houseboat in 1972. We enjoyed it.
Do you spend a lot of time on
it? Not a whole lot. I don't get to spend a whole lot of time, but as much as I can.
How much is like gas compared now to then?
Oh my Lord.
I've heard right now at the marina
right now is about $1.40. Yeah, you mean
dollar what?
$1.40.
Yeah.
Yeah. And of course when they first started boating well, you know, it's down to 19, 20 cents. You know
how
that?
Many miles per gallon can you get? 10.
Oh no. Depends on how fast you're running. I say top man. If you're running top, you mean real careful. And if you're running about 1,800 RPMs, I'll probably get about 3. You know what I mean? But if you're wanting to go someplace just a little bit, not too much, and you move right on down to 1 with no trouble at all. You mean 1 mile per gallon, easy. Ain't no problem. Yeah.
You burn in $1.40 a mile.
Yeah. And you sure can. Yeah. Well, we haven't done a whole lot of traveling this year. There's several boats that goes up Wolfer Creek all the time. We go up Wolfer Creek, and it's only about 6 miles down there, see. And so you don't burn a whole lot of fuel. And we do contemplate on going to Manchester Island before the summer's over with. And Manchester Island's about 100 and, well, I'd say right 100 miles up river.
Where's that? Where's Manchester Island?
Above Meldal Dam. You know where Meldal Dam is?
Yeah.
Yeah, up the river, yeah. Manchester Island, yeah. What's called Twin Islands up there. They've got 2 islands up there. And it's just a nice trip. And there's several of us going to go, so we'll have a good time. I'm sure we will. We was up there last year. don't think we were in the storms last year. Oh boy, we had a good time. Storms and hot. It was terribly hot. It's just terribly hot.
Where did you
get your boat dock? I got a water race marine over there. Yeah. Yeah, and we'll see, I'm only about 5 minutes from home. I mean, so it don't take long. I've been leaving her in the water. She's in the water. I haven't had a lot of water for 2 years now. But I think this year I'll take it out. I'm gonna get some work done all day, Eddie. It's beginning to. I tell you, that boat's in good shape, though. I mean, my boat's in good shape. In fact, matter, my boat is worth more today than paid for. You know what I mean? So, but I still need some work to be done. You got to keep after a boat. It's just like, oh boy. I mean, there's just lots of tender care there.
Do most people here have boats, you think? Most of the
rural
people?
No, very few. Very few of rural. Most of them are all
from out of town. Great farm. They come out of Minneapolis, Greensburg, Hamilton.
Yeah. For sales, all is good.
All over.
Yeah.
Do you think people used to have boats, Lord?
And rowboats.
And
a lot of rowboats. A lot of them, ma'am. I mean, a lot of them. Oh, boy.
It wasn't any safer then, either, was it, out in the river than it is now, with the rapids?
Well, your river wasn't as deep.
Well, it was more safe years ago than it is now. Yeah, I mean, due to the volume of boats. Mm-hmm. In other words, now, if you're in like-for-like boats, you're okay. But say, for instance, you just roll a boat out in the river, you have to be careful. Because somebody's liable to hit you. You know what I mean? But if you're...
Best thing about the rapids or the water...
No rapids. We don't have the rapids. We do have current.
Current, that's
yeah,
what
yeah. No, the water...
Is it current stronger now?
No. No, we got a lot more stable river than we used to have. A lot more stable. In other words, you do have some flexibility, but I mean, not near as great.
I know some days it's like blowing white caps down there.
Well, that's upstream winds doing that.
Well,
upstream winds.
Yeah.
Well, I thank you, gentlemen. I hope I don't charge you out too much here.